your Bibles this morning, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I may owe a vitamin company an apology. I haven't been taking them for a week and a half, and I'm still dizzy, so I don't know. I really thought that's probably what it was, and I did find a lot of reviews where people took that vitamin, had the same symptoms that I did, but I don't know. I don't know what's going on. And I'm still making mistakes. I feel my wife's medicine, and one of her important ones, she come in the bathroom this morning while I was getting ready and said, "Do you not put my medicine in there?" And I'm like, "Oh, I thought I did, but I didn't." So I don't know. I just feel like I'm struggling, but that's just how it goes. All right. Last week, I did a study on the Church of Christ on baptismal regeneration, and we base it off of this book. Not the first 2 weeks, I didn't even open this book because I know both of these topics so well. It's Five Heresies Examined, and a few of you seem like you were interested in purchasing this. If you want a copy, it's $5. That includes shipping and everything, final cost. Pastor Andrew is going to order after the service today, and he needs to know how many want a copy. So if you want a copy of this, it's $5. It covers the charismatics, which we're going to cover today, the tongues, signs and healings, and the miracles and stuff like that, and speaking in tongues, Church of Christ, the Roman Catholics, Jehovah's Witness, and Seventh-day Adventists. It's a little book, but it's a very, very good book. It's got a lot of good information in it. It's got a lot of references. So if you want one, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right, looks like we got about 5. And he'll have order a couple more. It's just a really good study into what these false teachers believe. And listen, every group out there has got Bible for what they believe. They got some Bible, it's just misapplied, and it's not rightly divided. We covered last week on the Church of Christ and baptismal regeneration. I'm probably not going to get through this today. I'm not going to hurry through it. I like to do it in one setting so those that listen online can go from beginning to end, and I cover all the material. But when I do that, I cram a lot in a little bit. So I'm going to slow down. If you have any comments while we're doing this, raise your hand, and I'll let you talk, and we'll discuss some things. This week is going to be on tongues, signs, and healings, the miracles, the wonders. And there are groups out there that read what Jesus did in the Bible, and they see all these things, and that's what they want. Are you at YouTube? Okay, go ahead. Turn this back on. Get on YouTube. I want to show you something. This is the founder of the Vineyard Church, what I told y'all last week. And I found a video. If you'll pull that back up. Go to Vineyard ABC News. This was an interview done by Peter Jennings, I think it is, in 1995, I think, with the founder of the Vineyard Church. And he explained why he started the church. And I wanted you to see it for yourself. Now, if you'll put it up here, I can tell you where to go ahead and put it up on the screen, and I'll tell you where to go. It's like the fourth or fifth down. But I want you to see this, and this will. There's another church in this area in Warrior that a lot of people keep going. You're almost there. Keep going. This one right here. Go to this one, and go to about and turn it down because we're going to get an ad probably in the beginning, and I don't know what they're going to advertise. Yep. So turn the volume down. Bigonize it. Can you bigonize it? Hey, can you bigonize it? There we go. All right, go to about the 2-minute mark and turn up the volume. Pull it up to the 2-minute mark. I mean, it's about a 12-minute video, and you can go.
He started the Vineyard because he hungered for the supernatural in Christianity.
I love Jesus. I love the stuff he did. I love the more pie and the food and the healing of the sick and getting sight to the blind, spitting people alive. And I love that stuff, you know.
The first time he went to church, Wimmer's, as he expected, miracles. After just 3 Sundays, he was frustrated.
So I went up to this guy, pulled on his sleeve, and he had a chest, and he wanted to pretty much know something. I said, why do they do it? He said, do what? I said, the stuff. He said, what stuff? I said, the stuff in the Bible. He said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, you multiply the fishes and loaves and feed the hungry and all that stuff. Why do they do that? He said, oh, we don't do that. We believe in it. We pray about it, but we don't do it. And I was terribly disappointed. I said, wait a minute. You don't understand, I gave up drugs for this. I gave up my career for this. You mean I don't get to do it? When I work for the devil, I got to do the devil stuff. If I'm working for Jesus, I want to do what Jesus did.
All right, we'll cut it. We'll turn it off. You can go ahead and turn it off up here too. So, he goes to a church. He reads the Bible. He reads the Bible, and he sees all this stuff that Jesus did. You heard him, giving the blind sight, doing all these miracles. So he goes to church, and he doesn't see this. So he goes up. You heard him in his own words. Hey, when are we going to do the stuff? But what stuff? Well, the stuff that Jesus did. I want to do the stuff Jesus did. So he starts a church. If I was to go to his church for three Sundays in a row, at the end of that third Sunday, do you know what I could do? I could walk up to somebody at that church, an elder, and say, when are we going to do the stuff? When are we going to do the, when's the blind going to receive their sight? When is the deaf going to receive the hearing? When are the dead going to be raised? When is all this stuff going to happen? It's still not happening. It's smoke and mirrors. It is smoke and mirrors. And did you hear his comment? I left drugs for this. I left my career for this. Listen, I didn't get saved to do the stuff. I didn't get saved to do the miracles. That's not why I got saved. It never occurred to me that I was going to be able to raise the dead. He said, I want to do, you heard his own words, I want to do the stuff that Jesus did. Hold your finger there and go to Acts chapter 8. I thought of this just as he was speaking. This come to my mind, Acts chapter 8. He wants to do the stuff. And this church in Warrior, anybody remember the name of it? It's a new church everybody's going crazy about. Internet Church of the International. I guarantee you almost everything we're going to cover today is going to fit into that, because they're into the healing and the gifts of the Holy Ghost and all this crazy stuff. We're going to see what the Bible actually says. Acts chapter 8, look in verse 14. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only that were baptized. Oh man, this is a great verse for last week. So do you see, y'all saw the progressive revelation. John said, I baptize with water, but there's coming one after me. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And the verse, God just puts it in parentheses here. Y'all see that? For as yet he was, the Holy Ghost, that's he that he's referring to, was fallen upon none of them, only they that were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, the water baptism. All right, so we're going to go on. Then laid they hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. So the apostles are laying hands on people. They're getting the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Man, I want to do the stuff. I want to be able to do what you do. Verse 19, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness. Look, the guy just wanted to do the stuff. He just wanted to do the miracles. He wanted to be able to lay hands on people and they get the whole... And Peter is just lamb-blasting this guy. You've got no part in this matter. And pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. The dude just wanted to do the stuff. And so when people read the Bible, it's 2023, I read the Bible, and I say, well, man, I want to see all of this stuff. Well, what does the Bible say about the stuff? What does the Bible say about the miracles? What does the Bible say about the wonders and the signs? And that's what we're going to look at. Go back over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I could have laid this groundwork last week. And this is mainly, and we're going to go over some stuff that some of you have already... we've already covered, but there's going to be people that listen to this online. I want to get this part. Because some people say, well, you ought not talk about Church International. You ought not talk about the guy that started the Vineyard Church that wanted to do the stuff. But let's see what the Bible says about that. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and with prayer. Now watch this. Paul's telling Timothy, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, if you talk about it, Timothy, if you tell them about it, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of a good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. So Paul is telling Timothy, in the latter time, some shall depart from the faith, and you need to talk about it. You need to tell them. You're a good minister if you do. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, look in verse 15. 2 Timothy 2, 15. You say, how do you determine what's right? How do you determine who's right? You do that with the Word of God. The Bible is the final practice in all matters of faith. And listen, I don't care if you say you saw a 900-foot Jesus and you need to send in the money. That doesn't mean anything. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Y'all all know this verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I told y'all about that Church of Christ pastor I debated and talked to. He was ashamed after I got done. He never again brought up what he told me because I was able to show him from the Word of God. He was ashamed. Rightly dividing the Word of truth. So we see here the Bible tells us to study and to rightly divide. And Brother Gaddis brought up last week, well, does everybody believe in two divisions, the Old Testament and New Testament? As far as I know, yes. I mean, you would have to be a complete idiot to not even acknowledge that there's an Old Testament and New Testament. So right there's a division. We've got two divisions, Old Testament, New Testament. Now there's more than that, and there are people that, like anything, there are people that don't divide enough, and there's people that divide too much. There's a group called hyper-dispensationalists. Man, I mean, they break it down to where only the epistles Paul wrote in prison are the only thing for us. And I don't go with that. And again, if anybody wants to bring me anybody that wants to debate on any of this stuff, we'll have a debate, and I won't speak for them. I'll let them speak. Then I get to speak. Then they get to speak, and I get to speak. I got no problem with that. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. So we know in the latter times there's going to be some depart from the faith, and Paul told Timothy, talk about it. Tell them. Warn them. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. So Paul knew what we're dealing with today, it would be here. It was even in his day, but it's gotten worse and worse and worse. Turn to Titus, one book over. Titus chapter 1, verse 7. Then we'll get into this other stuff, but I want to lay some groundwork. Titus chapter 1, look in verse 7. For a bishop must be blameless, the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. So he's saying this is what a bishop must be. He's laying out a bunch of these things that he has to have. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. These are people that says that, you know, all the crazy stuff that they say. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. And the circumcision is the religious people. They're the Jews. But religion will get people in trouble, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. If from what I understand, the founder of the Vineyard Church died with $8 million in his account. What about the part where Jesus said, sell all you have and give to the poor? Oh, yeah, you don't really believe that? I mean, you want to do the Jesus stuff? Jesus said, sell everything you got and give it to the poor. Verse 12. And you say, well, why don't we do that? We'll get into that here in a second. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Christians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. this witness is true. He said, yeah, that's right. That's what they are. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply. Preacher, we ought not talk about other churches. We ought not talk about, well, yes, we should. We see here that Timothy is telling Titus, rebuke them sharply. Say you're wrong. This Church International, they are wrong. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in faith. See, this is why we have the heresies we have today, is because preachers don't know the Word of God, and when they do know it and they see the error, they don't say nothing about it. Well, we just need to get along, and everybody's got their opinion, and there's more than one way. Verse 14, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. So we see here that Paul is telling Timothy and Titus, expose the error, talk about it, mention it, call them out on it. Turn to John chapter 4. Say, preacher, what is right? What is true? Who is right? Who is wrong? Look, we can't both be right. Two things that are different are not the same. So if somebody says this is right and somebody has a contrary opinion or another view, they're not both right. One is right and one is wrong. John chapter 4, verse 24. And again, of these, the next few verses we all know. I'm just going over this for the sake of those that might be listening online, either today or in the future. John chapter 4, verse 24. God is a spirit. This is Jesus. And for those of you who seem to think that the red letters are more important than the black letters, this is for you, which isn't true. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. You have to have the truth, and you have to have spirit. You can't have either one of them. And Brother Carl was right. Just because somebody gets up and flat out just flops and flips around and screams and hollers and speaks in tongues, that's not the spirit. Must mean something so important it cannot be missed or ignored. That's what the definition of must means. It's something so important that it cannot be missed or ignored. If you want to worship God, you must worship him in spirit and in truth. Turn to John 16. John 16. We're just covering on what's right, what's true, what you ought to look for. John 16, verse 13. John 16, verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, that's who we're talking about, is come, he will guide you into how much truth? If you have the Spirit of God, you can know all truth, or the Bible's a lie. You can know what's right. You can see something, and you can make a determination, not based on your feelings, not based on what it looks like, but based on the truth. Turn one chapter over, John 17, 17. What is truth, preacher? Where would we go to find truth? It's answered right here. John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It comes out of this book. Whatever this book says. And so that's what you want to look at. What does the Bible... Okay, so now that we've determined that this is truth. It isn't what I feel. It isn't what the pastor of the church, international church, whatever, or the vineyard, or anybody else thinks. I mean, it's their opinion is interesting, but it's not the final authority. What does the Bible say tongues are for? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we're going to get into the signs and healing and all that, but right now we're going to cover tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. What does the Bible say? Now, I know what the charismatics say. I know what the Assemblies of God, and I know what the different groups say that tongues are for, but what does the Bible say? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22. Wherefore, tongues are for a what? That's what the Bible says. That's not my opinion. That's not my conjecture. It's not my theory. The Bible says, wherefore, tongues are for a sign. I turn to 1 Corinthians 1:22. Same book. We're not even leaving the book. We might be moving over a few chapters, but we're in the same book that Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. And if you've ever run across these people, the Vineyard Church said if you didn't speak in tongues, you couldn't be saved. They went that far. And there are people that say it. If you don't, that's the evidence of the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. If you don't speak in tongues, you're none of his. You're not saved. So you run across somebody like that and you get thinking, well, the tongue's in the Bible. I must have to do it. Well, let's see what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 1:22. For the Jews require, you will never believe what they require, a sign. You remember last week when we were talking about the baptismal regeneration and what it stood for? John said, I come baptizing with water that Christ may be manifest to who? To Israel. We can go look at John. We turn back over to John 1:31. Let's see what the Bible says water baptism was for. John 1:31. What the Bible says it's for. I know what the Church of Christ says it's for. I know what all the other denominations that teach baptismal regeneration says it's for. But John 1:31, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. Water baptism was to manifest Jesus Christ to Israel. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Tongues are for a sign. The Jews require a sign. Turn to Exodus chapter 3. Let's look at the first time the Jews required a sign. Their nation began with a sign. Exodus chapter 3. This is just taking the Bible line upon line, verse upon verse. Just looking at it and seeing what it says. Exodus chapter 3, starting verse 13. Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is his name forever, and this is the memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of who together? Israel. Turn over to the next chapter, chapter 4, Exodus chapter number 4. Look in verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Moses, you're crazy. We're not going to follow you. We're not leaving Egypt. He did not call you to lead us out of this bondage. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. Now, this is a funny verse to me. I'd love to see this. And Moses fled from before it. Can you imagine him talking to God and said, God, they're not going to believe me. And God said, what's that in your hand? He's like, that's a rod. Throw it on the ground. He throws it on the ground. And as soon as that thing turns into a snake, what does Moses do? He runs. That's funny. To me, I would like to just see an image of that. Moses fled. He ran. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take up it by the tail. He didn't say grab him by the head. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. They that believe, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. So God saying, when you throw that down and pick it up, it's going to be something to signify or show that I'm with thee. And the Lord said, furthermore, put now thine hand in thy bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom. When he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. I bet that's shocking. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand in his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. So it was made whole again. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first, what? Sign. Who requires a sign? Israel had to have a sign. Moses, you're crazy, man. God did not speak to you. But when they see these signs, they're going to say, hey, maybe God did speak to them based on the sign, that they may believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken to the voice. And he goes on to talk about turning the water and all that other stuff. But you see that the nation of Israel, they had to have a sign. The Jews require a sign. That's what the Bible says. You're not going to convince a Jew without a sign. All right. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. We're going to get back into the New Testament here. Matthew chapter 10. Let's start this journey. Matthew chapter 10. Look in verse 5 and 6, Matthew 10, verse 5 and 6. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not, now I've talked about this verse, but here it is. Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any of the Samaritans enter ye not. but rather go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Hey, Mr. Vineyard man, you want to follow what Jesus did? Why ain't you in Israel preaching to the Jews? He commanded his disciples, you do not go to the Gentiles. There's not a one of us in here this morning that's a Jew. So Jesus told his disciples, don't do it. Look back up in verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave who power? Them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. You see that word all, right? You do realize when they heal people, they all got healed. There was no duds. There was no... I've seen these guys on crutches, man. They'll come up, or, you know, they'll do this, and they'll lay hands on them, and they say, throw your crutches down. And they throw the crutches down, and they walk away like this. Glory to God! I'm delivered! I'm healed! No, you ain't. This is delivered. This is healed. I've seen them do it. I've seen them come up in wheelchairs and about drag themselves, and everybody shout, oh, glory to God, they're healed! No, they're not. I've had friends of mine that had wheelchairs, physical infirmities. You don't think they want to be healed? You don't think they want to be delivered from that? And these monsters, what they'll do is they'll get up and have these healing services. And they look, they wouldn't be there if they didn't think they could get healed. They got out of their home. They got in a vehicle. They drove to your church. They drove to your whatever. They come in the building. They have faith to be healed. And when they come up and then when they lay hands on them or do whatever they're going to do, and they leave that night and they're no better, you know what this guy up here says? Well, you didn't have enough faith. We're going to look at that here in a little bit. He gave them special gifts and special powers to authenticate the message because the Jews require what? A sign. So here in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against all unclean spirits to cast out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. See, people were coming to Jesus, and they came to the disciples, not because they were sorry for their sins, not because they, you know, wanted to worship the true God, but it led to that. If this man can cleanse my son, if this man can heal me, then truly he is the Son of God, I now believe. It was an authenticate that turned to Mark 16. And again, I told you some of the stuff we covered last week, we'll cover here. Mark chapter 16. Oh yeah, we're not even going to get close. Mark 16. Mark 16, look in verse 14. Mark 16, 14. Afterward, he, Jesus, appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, the 11 that were sitting there, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We covered this last week, and every church of Christ says, amen, that's what we're supposed to do. Now, we've already covered all that. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these S-I-G-N-S signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven as he sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth, preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with what following? Signs. These apostles were given signs. They were given abilities. They were given unique things that you and I don't possess. And we're about, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. See, these people read this stuff in the Bible and they think, well, it's in the Bible. It applies today. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. I'm in 1 Corinthians. Can't blame the vitamins this time. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Watch this. I said first, I meant second. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Watch this. Truly, there's that word again, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. So Jesus shows up. He's able to raise people from the dead. He's able to heal the sick. He was able to do all this stuff. He gave 12 other people. You say, well, I thought it was 11. Well, he gave Judas the power too. He gave until he fell. Judas had the power. He had what the vineyard dude wanted. I want to do the stuff Jesus did. Well, so did Simon. And Peter told him he was in the gall of iniquity and like he was wicked and he needed to repent of it. So these 11 people, 11 or 12 people, got this same ability to some degree, because there were some they couldn't heal and Jesus upbraided them for their unbelief. And we'll get to that here in a little bit. But these apostles, God gave them this thing of healing people, of touching them. The very thing that, listen, Oral Roberts, he had a big healing a long time ago. Of course, he's dead and gone. He'd been gone. But they had a tent meeting. Big old meeting. I mean, I can pull up, I can get the article just like I got this video. They had a big meeting. Everybody come all around Oklahoma. Well, a big tornado, big dust wind come up, knocked over a bunch of people. Do you know who they called after the tornado come through and there was a bunch of carnage and damage? 911, and the ambulance just come out and got people. Wait. I thought you were having a healing meeting. And you going to call 911 after a thing comes up and knocks people in the head and you got people bleeding and hurting? Come on, man. And then what about these people that have this ability, so-called? Listen, you want to do something for the kingdom of God? Walk down to Children's Cancer Ward at the Children's Hospital and go room to room and laying hands on people and see a mighty hand. But you don't see that. But they claim to have that ability. They claim to have that gift. And another thing at their church. Every one of these churches, they have a handicap spot out in every one of their churches. And every Sunday, there's people parked in those handicap spots because they're not being healed. They can't be healed. And like, I'm not saying you can't pray for somebody. We know people's been healed. We know people where the doctors, my wife, they called us together and said, prepare what y'all want done with her body. It was about this time last year. It was about this time last year. We all went in there and got a picture with her, the whole family, grandkids. I mean, the nurses were screaming, y'all can't be in here. Y'all need to get out. I just, man, what, you know, arrest me. What are you going to, I mean, y'all telling us she's about to die. There's nothing we can do. Y'all prayed. The church prayed. We prayed. People all over the nation prayed. And she's sitting here this morning. But there wasn't one person. There wasn't a person who had this gift that the apostles, we don't have any apostles today. They're not around. They're gone. Now, if Peter would have been around or James or John or any of them, and they would have come by her room and touched her, she'd have been healed instantly. Matter of fact, the shadow of Paul falling on people healed people. When Paul was out healing, not only was everybody getting healed and everybody he touched got healed, if they could just let his shadow touch people, the people that hit the shadow got healed. I can show you that in the Bible. That is a gift that nobody has today. Benny Hinn doesn't have it. But they claim to have it. That's just what I'm saying. There is not one documented. There's people that's paid a lot of money to offer any of these faith healers in one documentable, provable, certifiable proof that anybody has been miraculously healed by a touch of their hands. Not one. Not one. Again, like I said, they come walking up in crutches, and they throw the crutches down, but man, they're struggling walking across the stage. But glory to God, he's healed! No, he's not. He's about to fall over because he don't have his crutches. Turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. This may be where... Yeah, I believe this is where the shadow was healing people. Son, you got some power when your shadow touches people and they get healed. I think this is it. And by Acts chapter 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many... There's that word again. Signs. He's dealing with the nation of Israel. And wonders wrought among the people, and they were with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, there's no man joined to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. So these people are getting healed, and they're saying, hey, man, there's something about this thing, and I'm going to believe on his God. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. They were wanting the shadow. There came also a multitude of the cities round about in Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them which were vexed of unclean spirits, and they were healed, some of them, a few of them. These people that show up to these healing meetings, man, these are monsters standing up here telling people, you can be cured of whatever you got. All you got to do is just believe. So they come up, believe, they're there. They wouldn't be there if they didn't believe. They go down. I've had friends of mine go to these things. Man, what? You never know. I'm going to go try it out. And they leave in the condition they came, and now they're disillusioned. They're mad at God, and God never said any of that stuff. Turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. So when God called Paul, he gave him, he's an apostle, God gave him the ability to heal people and to raise people from the dead. Acts chapter 20, look in verse 7. Acts 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. He'd gone a long time. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, the long preaching is biblical, it's spiritual, it's godly, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up what? Dude, he falls out the loft and he's dead. Verse 10, and Paul went down and fell on him and, embracing him, said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again, he had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while till the break of day, so he departed. Paul raised this guy from the dead. He was an apostle. He could do it. Turn to Matthew 17. Matthew 17. This is the part where I'm about to show you the people getting healed. It's not their faith. It's the one who's healing. It's based on his faith. It's clear in this verse I'm about to show you. Matthew chapter 17, look in verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic. That's funny. And sore vexed, and oft time he fall into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not what? Now, were they given the ability to do it? Yes. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Was Jesus talking to the one that come kneeling for him, or was he talking to the disciples? He's about to answer that. And Jesus rebuked the devil and departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus again and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because the guy who came didn't have enough faith. No, sir. Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have the faith of grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting, whatever was this situation. But it was the healer's faith that was lacking, not the one who was asking for. You see this? I got a real problem with these guys. And I don't know, I haven't really delved too much in the church, the international church, but I guarantee you it's following right in line with the vineyard teaching, right in line with that doctrine of the miracles and come see the great and wonderful things. And people are being raised from the dead. The blind are having their eyes open. The deaf are getting their ear. Like, no, it's not. It's smoke and mirrors. It's smoke and mirrors. How many times does anybody know that tongues were actually spoken in the Bible? Where someone actually spoke in the Bible? I mean, you think there's a great movement. The Vineyard Church started on it. I mean, all these people, you think, what's three times? There's only three occurrences in the Bible. Now, tongues are talked about in other places, and we're going to get into that next week. But tongues are only spoken three times. While we're here, go ahead and pull that YouTube back up if you don't mind. I want to show you something. I'm telling you, this is demonic. If you don't mind, pull. Huh? No, I'll tell you where to go once you just turn down the volume again because we might get some. Huh? You got it up? All right. Go to the 7:25 mark. Now, this was a news story that ABC did with the Vineyard founder. And you got to be exact. I mean, just around 7:25. And to call this godly, to call this, yeah, around 725. There you go. That's good. And turn it up. You turn it up. Go to the 9:55 mark. I would just show it. Look at that. Yeah, go to the 9:55 mark. I mean, that's crazy. Y'all can go home and watch this on your own, but this is a bunch of junk. All right, about right there is good. All right, just wait through this ad, and then you'll have to, you'll be able to skip it here in a second. All right, there you go. Are you at the 9:55 mark? Yeah. You can go ahead and cut that. You can go ahead and cut it off. I'm just showing you, man. There's people violently shaking, uncontrollably. Just go home and watch it on your own. And to call. The Bible said let everything be done decently in order. We've seen people cry. We've seen people get right with God. We've seen people, I mean, shout, glory. All of that's biblical. The disciples, when they think, when things happen, man, the other religious crowds told Jesus, they told Jesus, man, make them be quiet. He said, man, if they don't shout, these rocks would cry out. There's nothing wrong with shouting, praising God. But this epileptic fit, that this demon-possessed, uncontrollable bodily movement is not of God. Go ahead. Yeah. There are, if you'll watch this, they interview the people and they said, I didn't have any control. Like God just took over and my body just is like I plugged my finger into a light. So that's not God. But go ahead. These type of churches are looking for an emotion, looking for a feeling. They do not preach the death, burial, and resurrection. They do not preach that you are a sinner. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you will die and go to hell. These churches, Joel Osteen, all these type of churches, they don't preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins and asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of those sins and living a godly life. It's all an emotional, this thing up at the college, Asbury or whatever it was here. It's emotionalism. It's just, God's here, and everybody's flooding. I mean, there are people flying, getting in airplanes halfway across the world to fly to this revival that's breaking out, and God's got nothing to do with it. And Christians are just falling for it. I mean, it's crazy. Anybody else got any comments or anything? Brother Gaddis, I'm shocked. I thought you would have something to say with this. Nope, you're good? All right. He just catches me afterwards and says a bunch of stuff. All right. Anybody got any questions on this? I'm not even halfway through it. We're going to cover the three places where tongues are spoken. We're going to read the whole chapter that tongues is talked about and the miracles and the signs and all that. But you have to see it was an apostolic gift that God gave apostles. There are no, I can show you. Okay. So Paul raised the guy, and I just want to say this in case somebody's here next week. Paul raised that guy from the dead. He could heal and he healed other people. When you read at the end of Timothy, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's telling him to drink a little wine for his stomach's sake. He couldn't heal him. And then Paul said that he left Trophimus at Miletum, or Miletum at Trophimus, one of them. Paul said, I left him there sick. How could a man who have apostolic gifts leave somebody sick? Him that knoweth to do good and do it not, to him it's sick. Paul lost the ability. There's a transition. And we talked last week about progressive revelation. What did they know and when did they know it? God came, Jesus came only to the nation of Israel. Israel rejected. God turned to the nation, to the Gentiles. He called Paul. So all those signs that Israel needed started fading away because God turned his focus to the Gentiles. You see that? So when you go back and you read into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about the water baptism, you read about the tongues and the healing and the miracles and all this, and you get the guy from Vineyard and say, hey, when are we going to do the stuff? Well, that was to the nation of Israel. The stuff that he refers to was to the nation of Israel. God is not dealing with the nation of Israel anymore. All right, that it? Anybody got any questions, comments? Go ahead. Yeah. Well, we're going to look at every place in the Bible, which are three, where tongues are spoken, and every time there's a Jew present. Every time, because the Jews require. Matter of fact, I don't have time. I really got to close. They're going to call me Brother Heitch, and I understand I probably deserve it. But the Gentiles get the Holy Ghost, and they speak with tongues, and it says the Jews I'm just paraphrasing. They were shocked because on the Gentiles also received the gift of the Holy Ghost. But they knew they received the gift of the Holy Ghost because they spoke in tongues. So it was to manifest who Jesus Christ was. Is what it was. All right, we'll pray. I'll stop. Lord, we do thank you for your word, Father.